It's been an incredibly encouraging morning, always one of my favorite Sundays of the year. Life change celebrated, people intentionally sharing the good news of Jesus in word and deed, whether that be locally, nationally, globally, as folks head out on trips this summer. In so many ways, what we've celebrated today is an incredible end cap to our sermon series that we've been in, entitled In That Day, which has been all about life in the Spirit and what it looks like when God makes his home in us. And we've taken several weeks in a row now to look at some of Jesus's conversation with his disciples, known as the Upper Room Discourse, a conversation that was taking place leading up to Jesus's death, burial, resurrection, and ascension. And in this conversation, Jesus has talked about the fact that he is the way, the truth, and the life in regard to a relationship with God, what we've heard in these stories again this morning, that he will send the Holy Spirit to teach and lead the disciples and to remember all that Jesus had told them and taught them, and that they will bear much fruit and that their joy will be full and that they will bear witness about Jesus even in the midst of a world that will hate them because the world hates Jesus. And I left off last week here and the week before at Adams Mill by saying we, as disciples of Jesus, followers of Jesus, empowered by the Holy Spirit, we too are to live lives in word and deed that testify and proclaim and bear witness about Jesus and his kingdom. And I thought I would conclude our morning of celebrating by looking once again at this conversation Jesus was having with his disciples. Because Jesus shares with them about how the Holy Spirit's mission in the world, here in the Gospel of John, this upper room conversation, he's talking about how that plays out and the fact that he has made his home in us. And that has ramifications for us all these years later, May of 2025 and beyond. So let's look at John 16 together. And again, we're gonna go fast, so it's on the screen for you. This is what it says, Jesus talking with the fellows. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away, for if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. Let me hit pause right there. As a reminder, over the past 2 weeks, as we looked at the end of John 15, I articulated that the world is this organized system of unbelief that stands in opposition to God and the truth that has come to us in and through Jesus. The world's system, that is Satan's system, his demon armies waging war against the purposes of God. There is the world's kingdom, what it values and promotes and claims, and there is Jesus's kingdom, which is opposite of the world's kingdom. And they are opposed to one another. You might recall these words from the Apostle Paul from Ephesians 6. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in heavenly places. There are two kingdoms at odds, the world's and Jesus's. So look back in John 16, verse 8, where it says this, and when he, the Holy Spirit, comes, he will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. Concerning sin, because they do not believe in me. Concerning righteousness, because I go to the Father and you will see me no longer. Concerning judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. Verse 12 says, I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. You see, in these verses, Jesus actually tells the disciples how they will go about bearing witness and testifying and proclaiming about who Jesus is. And it does definitely have implications for us because we are also followers of Jesus. To quickly summarize what Jesus actually just laid out in these verses, I would say it this way. The primary role and ministry of the Holy Spirit in the world is to equip the Spirit-filled church of God with the Spirit-inspired Word of God as we live on mission and walk in step with the Spirit. Don't miss it. And again, I know we're not unpacking it all, but there is an internal and external work of the Holy Spirit. So as a follower of Jesus, as we abide in Christ, Charlie taught on this a couple of weeks ago, we experience love, joy, peace, patience, and so on and so forth. So please hear me say this. The internal ministry of the Holy Spirit in the life of a follower of Jesus is to make personal every promise of Jesus. But Jesus is saying in regard to the Spirit's work in the world's kingdom, we could talk about it this way. The Spirit of truth will help us, followers of Jesus, these disciples, speak the truth. We will bear witness to who Jesus is to a world blinded by Satan and held captive by his lies, which makes you maybe ask this question, Jason, how does that work? I'm so glad you asked. Look back at verse 12. Jesus had just said this to him, I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he's gonna guide you into all the truth. For he's not gonna speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will declare it to, he will declare to you the things that are still to come. These are really, really, really important verses. Because right here, Jesus is promising the divine inspiration of what we now call the New Testament. Jesus says to the apostles, the Holy Spirit is gonna reveal truth to you, the teachings of Christ to you. And this truth will be needed for the future mission of the church. The whole truth about who Jesus is and why Jesus came to us, from what we now know as the four gospels that were all about Jesus, to the epistles also about Jesus with instruction for the church, to the future and what is to come. It's all about Jesus. Paul said this in 2 Timothy 3. He said, all scripture is God-breathed. Peter said in 2 Peter 1, men were moved by the Spirit to write what God inspired. And all of this really matters. Because the Holy Spirit will help us, guide us, come alongside us by equipping us with the, if you want to go back to Ephesians 6, the sword of the Spirit, as the word of God is called in Ephesians 6. And in doing so, we speak God's truth in the midst of the world's kingdom that is opposed to God and the people of God. Because here's the deal, don't miss it. God is still calling people out of the world's kingdom and into Jesus's kingdom. That's actually what we celebrated this morning. 12 people between both services, 18 kiddos from a couple of weeks ago, being called out of the world's kingdom into Jesus's kingdom. Don't you remember? Jesus said, the world hates you because I called you out of the world's kingdom and into my kingdom. That's what he said in John 15. If you want to know why we place such a high value on coming together and opening the scripture and studying the scripture, but not just studying the scripture, applying the scripture to what? Every facet of our life. It is found here in what Jesus says to these apostles that will happen in and through them. So look back at verse 8 with me, where it says this, and when he, the Holy Spirit, comes, he will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. Concerning sin, because they do not believe in me. Concerning righteousness, because I go to the Father and you will see me no longer. Concerning judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. Again, the world hates you because I called you out of it. And Jesus tells us here that the Spirit will convict the conscience of other people in the world's kingdom in regard to sin, righteousness, and judgment. What is sin, righteousness, and judgment? That's actually the gospel. Sin. Jesus died to pay the penalty of sin for the whole world. But only those who actually believe in him will stand guiltless before the Father. So according to Jesus here, unbelief is the condemning sin of the world. Because just like, again, I talked about over the last couple of weeks, when you said yes to Jesus, you go, that's awesome. The world says, who are you to say that God would choose you? When the world is confronted with sin and their sin, they have to do something with that. What are you gonna do with Jesus, right? This was his claim, I am the Son of God. What are you gonna do with him? Crown him king and follow him with your life, just like we were asking person after person here? Or tell him to get lost? Righteousness, and Matt already alluded to this, it refers to a person standing before God as not guilty. And here Jesus relates the issue of righteousness, it's interesting, to his going to the Father, because Jesus had said, this was part of the deal, Jesus had said that he was one with the Father, but in the world's system, when Jesus said that, they accused him of deceit, they accused him of blasphemy. They said Jesus was guilty and they put him to death. And Jesus says here to the disciples, when I go to my Father, that will be the ultimate vindication of my righteousness over the accusation of this world. And when anyone believes and trusts in Christ for salvation, God gives you, this is so good, he gives you Jesus's righteousness by grace alone, through faith alone, and Christ alone, because on the cross, Jesus took our sinfulness on himself, and through faith, you and I, as followers of Jesus, are wrapped in his righteousness, judgment. Jesus tells us that Satan has been judged. His head crushed, Genesis 3. The powers of Satan and hell are defeated at the cross, Colossians 2. The one who had the power of death is destroyed by Christ, Hebrews 2. The world's kingdom is defeated. So what are the implications of what Jesus is saying in regard to the Spirit in and through our life in the world? I believe it is this, and this is our reminder this morning. The people of God, filled with the Spirit of God, proclaiming the Word of God, living lives transformed by the love and the grace of God, will invite those stuck in the world's defeated kingdom into Jesus's kingdom, where they are wrapped in his righteousness, and there alone is true life found. So Fellowship Greenville, make no mistake about it. This is the mission of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit through the church. And today, even through what we've already done, we have been reminded of a couple of things that I want to point out to you. The mission of the church, the people of God, making much of Jesus with their lives, it is two things simultaneously, and they are not opposed to one another. On one hand, it is very organic, and on the other hand, it is also organized. It's organic in that all of us are all over the place, living our gospel changed Jesus following lives. Did you hear? I know you heard these stories of grace. Did you also observe everybody who was standing outside the tank? Who are those people? Those are people who are living lives of gospel intentionality in their relationship, in their spheres of influence. Just in the everydayness of life, because God is still rescuing people into his kingdom out of the world's kingdom. Today, in this one local church alone, we're only one, and there's a lot of great churches here in the upstate and beyond. Today, in this one local church alone, when we say amen, have a great week, everybody. The gospel, the life-transforming message of Jesus, the Spirit of God in you, it will go in thousands of directions across the upstate. It goes everywhere we go. And at the exact same time, it's not just organic, it is often also organized. What we're praying over this morning and celebrating are so many intentionally heading somewhere in the world this summer with the gospel. And we have a whole team here at Fellowship that is constantly thinking about strategic partnerships, strategic gospel partnerships, locally and nationally, globally. John and Cassandra have both talked about it. And I want to add my real quick public thank you to Cassandra this morning for her years of involvement, investment in our church family. She has lived what she has called people to. I'm thankful for that and will continue to do so, right? She's invested in our community and in our missionaries, but she's not just walking away and retiring in the summer and saying, good luck to y'all, I hope it works out. She's actually, it's very kind of her, she's been a part over the last several months of investing in our gospel expansion team as we continue to move forward. As a matter of fact, here's a picture of some people that you should know. Jana Johnson, she's been a partner with Cassandra for many, many years. She's been on that team. John Powell, who you've already heard from, is our gospel expansion pastor. He's been here for a couple years now and grew up in this church. Rachel Mark, she served in a different part of our discipleship team for many years, and now she's stepping in as missional impact director. And then Kevin Slocum, he's the newest member of the team. He started at the end of March, but you'll recognize Kevin because he and his family have been around for a long time. As a matter of fact, his dad, Bill, was our missions director for a decade or more back in the 1990s, so we're keeping it in the family. I just wanted you to see these folks. Be familiar with them because they're going to be in a lot of different spaces where you are, because we're not just interested in letting you know about our partnerships, although we are that. We're also very interested in mobilizing all of us to take part in those partnerships as the Spirit leads and directs. I know we have a lot of new people joining us, and maybe we haven't revisited it in a while, but as we continue to move forward, I want to let you know about the pathways in which we are partnering with our partners, whether that be locally, nationally, or globally. You could really put all of our partnerships into one of four categories. Here they are. They'll list them on the screen for you today. One is church planting and development. We're involved locally, nationally, and globally with church planting and developing churches. That's probably not new news to a lot of you, but it's one of our categories. Here's the second one for you, vulnerable people groups. We are involved in ministering the hope of the gospel with gospel-minded, gospel-centered partnerships locally, nationally, and globally when it comes to vulnerable people. And then unreached people groups, locally, nationally, globally as well. We're all about that. And then the last category there is our missionaries. These are the categories. And so it is organic. In and through Christ's people, it is organized, the church. And sometimes that's through financial resources, which we've celebrated this morning. Other times that so many of you, we already know so many of you are actually jumping in and serving in so many different ways. And we want to continue to put those partnerships in front of you that maybe, just maybe for some of you, what the Spirit of God is saying is, join me here. Join me there. Join me. As a matter of fact, that's how I'd like to close our time. Would you stand? Odd2, you stand. Adams Mill, thanks for tuning in today. You stand as well. Can we just all stand? The worship team will come up. We'll sing one more song together before we go. And just as a posture of saying, God, here I am, would you just put your hands in front of you like this? Would you be willing to do that? Let me pray over us. Being reminded that the gospel's getting ready to go in 1,000 or more different directions. Father God, I am so incredibly thankful for what you're doing in the life of this local church. It is for your glory and it is for your fame alone. The stories of grace that we have celebrated this morning, person after person declaring they want to follow you with their life, we rejoice in that. For those that are headed out this summer in all the different directions with an organized trip, we thank you for that and ask that your Spirit, through the word, in the midst of your people, would be a part of gospel transformation in many people's lives. And then for everyone standing in this moment, hands open in front of you, Father God, would you remind us that the beauty and the hope of the gospel that we have celebrated and remembered this morning, from communion to baptism to quickly studying some scripture, that it actually does change everything. And that you would, in your kindness and grace, continue to give us your eyes and your heart for people in a world that is opposed to you. Father God, I pray your kingdom would continue to break in, rescuing people from the world's kingdom into yours. And use us however you see fit. Use us organically. Use us in organized ways, and we will thank you for it. In Jesus' sweet name we pray, amen.